Our Voices Project acknowledges and honors that the lands we live, love, grow, work, and learn on are the ancestral homelands of the people of the Onondaga, or the Seneca, one of the six nations of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, along with the Cayuga, who call themselves the Gayukono, the Onondaga, who call themselves the Onondaga, the Oneida, who call themselves Oneida, the Mohawk, who call themselves Genegahaga, and the Tuscarora, who call themselves Garure. We acknowledge that our society was founded upon exclusions and erasures of many Indigenous peoples through centuries of genocide and forced separation from family, culture, language, and from land, spirit, and mind. We acknowledge this violent history of seizure and displacement that allows us to be on this land not only as a recognition, but as a motivation for change. As filmmakers, we are committed to working to dismantle the ongoing legacies of settler colonialism through truth-telling. We invite you to join us in enacting justice by taking such steps as committing to making a recurring monthly donation to a Native-led organization, such as to Ganondagon State Historic Site in Victor, New York, and or Native Made in Rochester, New York. Visit these organizations and find out how you can volunteer your time and help support Native-led initiatives. Find out how Indigenous peoples are represented in your local school district's curricula and advocate for the historical truth-telling of ancestral land dispossession and genocide and the acknowledgement and celebration of Indigenous contributions, past and present. Learn about the Murdered and Missing Indigenous Women movement, created to advocate for the end of violence against Native women and to bring awareness to the high rates of disappearances and murders of Native people, particularly women and girls. Learn how you can help. Help work towards truth, healing, and justice for the Indian boarding school impacts by contributing to the National Native American Boarding School Healing Coalition.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Representation in Cinema. Our Voices Project is a production company committed to providing a safe space and platform for Black, Brown, and Indigenous peoples to share experiences while dismantling destructive stereotypes perpetuated in the media through visual storytelling and truth-telling. On this podcast, we talk about the many ways in which Black, Brown, and Indigenous peoples are portrayed in films. We address the things that we love seeing, the tropes and stereotypes that Hollywood continues to perpetuate on screen, and what representation we'd like to see moving forward. Hello, listeners. It's Jackie McGriff, and today we're talking about the film One of Them Days. Joining me as the co-host for this episode of Representation in Cinema is Dr. Katrina Marie Overby. Katrina.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. Happy to have you back.
I'm so happy to be here.
Dr. Katrina Marie Overby is an assistant professor in the School of Communication at RIT, a public speaker, DJ, community connector, and reoccurring guest on the Our Voices podcast. Her work centers Black women's representation in popular and digital media, sisterhoods in and beyond the academy, and Black feminist approaches to storytelling, pedagogy, and community care. Work she continues through her newly launched brand and YouTube channel, Spin Dr. KO Media. We're going to add the link in the show notes to her YouTube channel for you. Before we get into today's episode, we want to remind folks that you can listen to previous episodes on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. You can also learn more about our films on our website at ourvoicesproject.com. If you'd like to be a guest on the podcast, you can email us at info@ourvoicesproject.com. And please note that while we welcome all, we prioritize hearing from Black, Brown, and Indigenous folks. We have three guests joining us in the studio today. First up is Miss Jay. Jay is a multifaceted African-American artist, yoga instructor, and proud girl mom who uses her gifts to bring people together. Through impactful projects like the Black Woman is Art and Mental Wealth Exhibition and Festival, she creates spaces for healing, resilience, and connection. Welcome to the podcast, Jay.
Peace. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Happy to have you. Next is Dominique Alexandria Simmons. Dominique is a creative mother and founder of Carabago Designs. Did I say that right?
Carabago.
See, I knew I was gonna mess it up. Okay, I'm so sorry. All right, Carabago Designs, where Afro-Caribbean heritage, melanated arts, and visual storytelling converge. Passionate about celebrating culture through design, photography, and textile art, she brings vibrant energy, heritage, and joy to every encounter. Welcome, Dominique.
Thank you
for having me.
Happy to have you as well. And our third guest was actually on our Black as Fuck podcast for Sinners, Coco Ray David. Coco Ray is a New York-based visual artist, curator, photographer, award-winning filmmaker. I know that's right. Award-winning filmmaker. And business owner, of By Coco Ray LLC and Perp. And I also have to put this in. She was also, her studio is where we shot Being Black in America. And then she was also one of our camera operators. Put some respect on her name. And Perp. Welcome back to the podcast, Coco.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Now on to the film. For our listeners and viewers, One of Them Days is a film about two best friends and roommates, Drew, who is played by the Kiki Palmer, and Alyssa, also played by the SZA, racing against time to secure rent money to avoid eviction after Alyssa's boyfriend blows through the money. One of Them Days is directed by Lawrence Lamont, written by Sarita Singleton from Insecure, and co-produced by Issa Rae. So, if you haven't had a chance to watch the film already, you can catch it on Netflix, where it is now streaming, and we encourage you to watch it and then come back and listen to our podcast. From here on out, we'll be discussing the film in depth. So, spoilers ahead. We know people don't like the spoilers, okay? Spoilers ahead. And as always, you have been warned. Are y'all ready?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm ready.
All right. I'm ready to jump into my first question. Okay. So, what was everyone's initial reaction to the film?
Don't all jump in. What's
going on? I'll go first. I saw it on the plane. Okay. I think I was going to Puerto Rico, and yep. And it just happened to be on the thing. I was like, this looks interesting. So I watched it, and actually watched it without my headphones because I didn't have headphones. So I was reading the subtitles the whole time. Oh, so man. I was dying, like laughing, like. You know, because I couldn't hear their voices, but I just like imagined it. But it gave me Friday vibes, next Friday, yeah. Craig and Day Day, mm-hmm. like facts. All day.
Yep, so. I've heard that from other reviews. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing literally when I read this question, that it gave the a female version of Friday, next Friday, Ice Cube, you know, sitting on a porch, chilling. And modern day version of it. And a bit of Insecure too, because we don't get mm-hmm. too many mm-hmm. options. Any of the black girl mm-hmm. comedies, I'm like thinking Girls Trip, I'm mm-hmm. thinking, you know, mm-hmm. come into that. But it wasn't bad. Yeah, and I got to watch it with my sister and my mom, so we were rolling, laughing. But
that's awesome. Thank you.
I'm such a last minute person. I literally watched it on Saturday. Because I am the type where I'm like, I need the hype to go down a little bit so I can mm-hmm. immerse into mm-hmm. it before I hear anybody's opinions. But it was the funniest thing I ever watched. It was ridiculous just seeing everybody, like, especially with the cast. I was like, oh my gosh, a lot of people are in this movie. So definitely Friday, yes, but I kept saying it's an extended version of Insecure, just because of course, like the jungles, the dunes, you know? Yeah.
All those reference That's points, true.
Yeah,
those cultural markers.
Yeah. I'm like, isn't that the same dunes?
Yeah.
But I didn't realize that it was co-produced with or yeah. Issa Rae yeah, until yeah. later. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know mm-hmm. what's going on in the news now. So
mm-hmm. I feel like it definitely gives the Issa Rae vibe.
Oh yeah, and
so
for sure.
You're sort of looking at it like, okay, we're all sort of like in the same realm of yeah. even when an Insecure would be happening. Yeah. So I think it helps with the placement mm-hmm. of the film when we think about it in that way. And so talking about placement as well and visibility, I'm wondering how you all felt about this sense of power of black sisterhood and community care that sort of comes across in the film. So when you were watching it, what immediately comes to mind for you and what did you appreciate in that regard?
I like the fact that they overall had each other's back. You know, those moments where they can finish each other's sentences, mm-hmm. look across the room or damn across the street and be like, girl, no. Like, you know, those moments where you have that type of sisterhood, whether it's sisterhood or just people in your community, your homie, your friend, mm-hmm. in black culture, or at least I know for black culture because that's what I am. That's what we do. You know, bodily gestures just were high points of the comedic experience.
Yes, definitely high points for me. Mm-hmm. I love a comedic experience, and this was one. Anyone else?
Go ahead.
Are you sure? I was going to let you to go.
I'm still thinking.
For me, it was just the raw emotions. Sorry. Mm-hmm. It was the raw emotions that they had for each other. Like sisterhood isn't always perfect. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. something I realized, especially I'm the oldest of three girls. So mm-hmm.
Same, me too.
Look, so you have those moments where you get into fights, you cuss each other out, or, you know, you get down on each other, or one's super like, this is the plan, we're sticking to the plan. The other one's, let the universe or let God have it. Like, you know, so it's very much of just letting things happen, you know, and the archetypes. Like, I love that there were so many different archetypes to them both, you know, like it wasn't just the stereotypical, like there was, you know, Drew, who is a hard worker. She works for what she wants. And then, we have Alyssa. Yeah. And then we have Alyssa, who's like the spiritual one, who's like, you know, let things happen. Don't think, take everything so serious, you know? So having those dynamics. And I love that we got to see different versions of sisterhood, like Mama, what was it? Mama, what was her name? She was one who had like the bodega, like in her
own.
Yeah. And like how she helped them out, you know, with their troubles, whether that was like them pouring into her little store or towards the end, they're like, we don't have a place to stay. Like, you could crash here, you know? So, so many different ways of sisterhood. So,
I'd
have to say the same. I don't know if there's any one point that stood out to me, because I just think about when they kind of had like a little fallout towards the end, but then they brought it back together. Like they were still like, you know, tight like glue. So I really appreciated that they didn't let their friendship get entirely ruined.
Plus when it was go time, like they just had a mutual, you know, offense. Like, yo, we got each other's back. Forget, we'll deal with that later.
Which
is key. Which is key. And I think that helps with what Coco was saying about the raw emotion of it all. Like, we might be feeling one way, but if we're really friends, if we're really sisters, we're going to move through this next thing. And then we'll actually come back to what needs to be discussed. And so for me, it came across as like accountability, what that looks like in different spaces, as well as like the hyping each other up throughout the process. And I definitely could appreciate the sisterhood that comes across throughout the film. So even with the final woman, Shayla, coming to the ending barbecue, and sort of like saying, you know, I wanted to come check this out. I had no idea that you were connected to putting this together, right? And so she gives her a chance after that.
Which was really nice, because she could have just let her rock, but she was like, nope, let me.
But then I wonder, even with that Shayla woman, you know, if she had known that was her event, would she have shown up?
Good question.
She probably wouldn't have. And that's unfortunate when it comes to the sisterhood side. I'm glad that, it was beautiful to see. And as far as the sisterhood, the arts side, being heavy in the arts, you know, your sister telling you, yo, you should be charging more. You know, that was a big point that really resonated with all of us, seeing like your work is so beautiful. Why are you giving it away?
And seeing our work as important enough to charge.
And she didn't have that confidence, but you know, her friend came through and really showed up for her.
Even in the beginning, like with the sneakers, when the sneakers, she was like, the sneakers. Look at the sneakers, and they were hanging on her paintings and stuff. So I love that.
That's true. That's true.
I'm sitting here and like listening to, you know, you mentioned about valuing, you know, each other's work, and then also wanting to see you be great, right? By saying, okay, well, it's worth more. You know, this is worth more. Your service is worth more. You know, your talent is worth more. And the four of us sitting here, like, right, like four, I mean, all of us, right, are working women. But I'm like, I'm speaking like directly to, of course, four of us being photographers, artists, right? Like, you know, constantly being like, okay, well, what are you charging for this? Girl, you need to like raise your prices. Like, you know, not everyone, not everyone is your customer or client, you know. Today's price is today's price, like, or today's, what is it?
Yesterday's price is not today's price.
That's right. Exactly. I can't tell you how many conversations, especially with you, Coco, that I've gotten into where you were like, girl, you need to like talk up your work. Because there'll be so many times where I'm just like in a setting, right? And, you know, some people may know that I'm a photographer, but I don't always talk about the filmmaking side. And then, or I'll talk, hey, I'm a filmmaker, and she'll be like, award-winning. Award-winning filmmaker. And I'm like, that's right. No, you're right.
Important. Yeah. That's important.
Yeah. Put respect on it. Put respect on it.
Hey. 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 I was wondering. So while we're talking about some of this, I think this very particular moment, right, where we do get to see the artwork being valued and it bringing the community together, I want to talk about this unforgettable grassroots fundraising moment. It felt like a digital age rent party, and so we were able to sort of join in on the party. And as we're talking about, you know, centers and being in the conversation of centers, even the club and juke joint portion took us to another place, right? It took us to things that were familiar or things, you know, that we see within our communities that do actually happen, right? Our communities do actually lift each other up. They do come together in these moments in different ways, right? And so everyone might not have known they were getting evicted, but they came out to still support. And so, yeah, just what did you all think about that moment, that fundraising grassroots situation?
I thought it was beautiful. It was very inspiring. And wanted to see it happen in real life. I'm like, yo, what did y'all do? What Facebook page? What hashtag?
Right. To get that many people out.
It was real dope, you know? And then there was even moments where I'm rooting for it. Like, girl, no, $300. No, and he's higher than that. That man is ready to throw money at you. Raise the price.
Right.
Anyway.
I thought it was extremely clever. I thought it was... It just reminded me of me. I was like, this is some shit I would do. Like, especially in that type of
vibe.
That type of situation. Circumstance. I know I've been in that predicament, you know, like, okay, let's raise some money for art, or this is how we'll make it. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. So it was beautiful.
And relying on the community that surrounds you.
Yes.
To do it.
I want to see it happen in real life. I'm with Dominique,
And also it wasn't just the Black community, even the new neighbor that they had, instead of looking at her as an outsider, she actually became a resource and making that happen. So that was dope. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. I was going to mention that part. She sort of came in on the, they were shady a little bit at first. They didn't trust her. I mean, I've been in that predicament, you know, they were sort of like, hold on now. What if white folks moved in?
Right. The background music they used when she was coming in, I was rolling. It was so funny.
But she comes in the clutch, you know, and just sort of builds a connection.
Yeah.
But is also...
She didn't even notice the shade, though.
Right. She knows the shade. But I think she is also trying to become one with the community in a way that's not, you know, typically appropriating of the community, but supporting and uplifting.
Yeah.
Right. The residents and folks that need it.
She wanted to be one of the crew.
So the cookout to a lot of us is usually more than a meal. Mm-hmm. And y'all know on the conversations on the socials, right? We always talk about who we invite into the cookout. And sometimes we need to revoke these invitations.
Listen, if centers didn't teach y'all anything
about an invitation.
Not everybody gets an invitation. Not all money is good money. I don't care if you think you're helping somebody. Like, I'm sorry, you can't just invite anybody to the cookout.
And so with that, do you all see the cookout as a sacred space for the neighborhood, as sort of a, you know, we've seen when cookouts have been infiltrated, actually, you know, by folks, by wanting to shut down the joy that is happening. And so I thought about that as well, just who they were inviting to the neighborhood, because it seemed like her connects were sort of more possibly posh and folks with money to buy the painting, because that's an important aspect, right? If we're really thinking about who the party was for, the party was for the neighborhood, right? So the neighborhood came to party, but the neighborhood was also for stakeholders who could purchase said paintings, right? Do we believe that those who lived in the neighborhood could purchase such, you know, art now at its value? And so just some of the conversation about that. What do you think about the cookout as being a sacred neighborhood space?
Gentrification? let's be real. I mean, the neighborhood who was actually at the Dunes could not afford. They could be gifted.
Yes.
Those, you know, as a thank you for letting us hold space with you. Mm-hmm. But as far as who was coming into the space to make her some money, no.
This gave a money-making venture.
We're here for paying them bills.
Right, for sure.
That's when we open up space and community, right?
I know that was a tough word to use, but I mean, it was very much two different communities, you know, and at least there was no arguments or it was a vibe. Like, it was a good experience that they all seemed to be flowing, and we need more of that.
Yes.
And in the real world, I don't think that happens as much.
I agree.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Can we take a moment just to shout out any of the cameos that we saw in the film.
Cat Williams.
Oh, oh my gosh. Hilarious.
Don't do it, girl. Don't
do it. You know what? I thought about him and people that have been, I don't know if I'm able to say, standing outside of Walmart, not Walmart, but Target, telling other people, like, don't go in there. I saw some videos of people early on that was like, don't go up in there. I saw Cat Williams sort of playing that role.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Don't y'all get caught up in this money making, in this money scheme with this payday loan.
Oh, wow.
But I also feel like his character, he always plays these very mystical characters where they're like, they're, you think they're crazy, but then you're like, they're onto something.
They're onto something, you know?
And he's just popping up in these different spaces, like the sneakers, and then like, you know, letting him know, like, I'm glad you didn't, you know, sell yourself in that place.
Right.
Like, first of all, I would not go in that place with that percentage rate. Are you tripping? No. Like,
what was it? 82%?
It was high. I was like, oh no.
120%?
He does. So that was lucky. He played lucky in the film. Now, what about Janelle James, who shows up from Abbott Elementary?
Do I still have a job?
Start a line in that and just had me cracking up. I'm like, girl, no. Like, there's no way.
Goodbye.
Yes.
She did a great job. So I think for me, sometimes you just sort of like to see the cameos that pop up. We also had Joshua David Neal, who plays Deshaun, who just says, oh, y'all got it.
We are big Joshua fans. We have been there since TikTok. And we're like, this boy's going to get a mix.
Who is he?
If he ever tunes in, did you hear that round of applause that happened?
You have big fans and myself and Coco.
Yes.
Because like the skits that he comes up with on TikTok are like, hilarious. How are you coming up with this?
Yes.
Like, and it's so funny. The comedic timing is on point. Like when I first watched one of his videos, it's like you watch one video and then you watch more because you're like, I gotta know like what other stuff like he's putting out there, and it's all hilarious. Mm-hmm. And so when he was talking about like wanting to take like acting seriously and all that, this is reason why he's like building up his TikTok page, I was like, God, he needs to be hired expeditiously. Yep. So to see him like get this role and with someone as big as Issa Rae and Kiki Palmer and SZA, like all these people, SZA, right? Like all of these people, I just couldn't help but be like so proud of
him. And he had a hefty role.
Really? Yeah. He did. You know,
so he was weaved throughout there a lot. Yes. And,
okay, spoiler. I need to know.
Yeah.
Who's
lost
guy?
Over here.
Oh, my God. Joshua Neal.
So Joshua David Neal.
He is amazing. TikTok, I think it's Joshua Neal.
Yeah.
And he does acting. It's all the acting is him. He doesn't have any other counterpart. Mm-hmm. If he does, like, little cameos, but it's all him. Mm-hmm. Mm. Screenwriting, everything, shots, all of it. His very
He played Kashan.
He played
the one that took the rent money.
I was so mad about that move because of him. I was like, oh my God, what are you doing?
So his breakout role then.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Big breakout role.
Yeah, he did a nice job. I didn't know he was like, I'm not on TikTok.
It's all good.
He was hilarious. Yeah, him taking the. And then the final sort of cameo that I spotted that I really liked again was Shayla, who actually was, you know, the person that they went to, that Kiki Palmer was trying to get the job from, right? That Drew was trying to, you know, that she interviewed with. And she comes from the game.
Yep.
And she played Janae, I think it's Janae.
Okay.
On the show The Game from back in the day.
Wow.
And when we talk about characters that can play a role so good that sometimes you see them in other things and you're like, I do not like her. It's not that I do not like her.
Right.
I love Gabrielle Dennis, okay? But the role she played in The Game, she did that so well, I didn't like her.
Right. Well, that's a testament to their skills. It's like
testament.
If you are supposed to hate this character and you hate this character, that means that
like
they did their job.
Yes. Okay. For me. And so she did a great job. And we're just popping up. It was good to see her popping up in this film.
Wasn't she in Black Girl Comedy Sketch too?
Yes.
I was like, she was
Black Girl Comedy Sketch. Yep. Yes. So this actually fits her lane.
Yep.
Mm. You know, this actually fits her lane, I think, in this particular film.
So I just looked it up and there was one other cameo with the guy named Tony Baker.
Yes, I don't remember which part he was on. So he's usually with Kev on stage.
Yes. He's a comedian.
I know who he is. But I can't remember him in the movie.
Drive thru. He was the guy giving the food in the drive thru.
And then that one guy would keep stealing it.
That part was hilarious. That part was hilarious.
Yeah.
And so for you, as we're talking about all these cameos and all this blackness on display, what did it feel for you to be watching this on screen? These different, like you said, these multi-layered characters that we might be familiar to in our everyday lives, but rarely get to maybe see sort of amplified on screen, and just sort of blackness in all its forms in this particular film.
Hello, listeners. This is Richard B. Colon reminding you all to check out the Behind the Glass Gallery podcast hosted by myself and Kwajay Donnell. Every month, we interview the latest First Friday featured gallery artists and dive deep into their passion, drive, and motivation beyond what they display on our gallery walls each month in downtown Rochester, New York. So please, if you haven't yet, subscribe and give us a listen. Also, don't forget to check out our monthly artist receptions every first Friday of the month from 6 to 8 p.m., 240 East Main Street at the Mercantile on Main. Hoping to see you all behind the glass.
So for you, what did you feel, I think, seeing just the multitude of characters and performance of blackness that we get, right, when we're viewing something like this? So like you said, Drew herself was multi-layered, right? A go-getter, also the person that's going to get things done, right? And then we got to see SZA, sort of the spiritual artist, these sort of things. And so we just get a lot of different members of the community, you know, in this community, all hardworking, all different stations of life, right? So what does it see? What does it do for you to see blackness on full display like that?
It's always wonderful. I mean, you know, there's not too many film directors who are of color who are making staples. I mean, not staples, but making an impact in our community and then bringing people and uplifting them as well. So whether it's a comedic version or a drama role or what action, whatever field it is, just seeing it making mainstream, I'm happy to see it, because we really don't have enough representation. So it hurts to hear when, like, a director or a filmmaker, producer is getting backlash on the other side. Like, damn, what happened? Oh, y'all screwed somebody over? Oh, dang. Yeah. Like, you know, because, like, Issa Rae, she's all about our age, so we know people who know her, or vice versa. And same thing with Tyler Perry. You know, there's backlash and good things, and like, overall, they're putting people on. Yeah. So,
and that's whether or not people enjoy the film, right? Because I saw a lot of push. I saw a lot of you know, harsh critiques that it wasn't funny, again, that it was just another Friday, or that they didn't get the plot line, or, you know, all of these excuses or things to not enjoy the film. I won't say excuses. Everyone has their particular taste or preference. But like you said, if nothing else, it's putting the people on. It's putting people on that might not have access to other types of films that they can be in.
And I also feel that, like, sometimes we get critiqued harsher. Because as far as the different categories of style of entertainment, we only got sprinkles of, you know, of these things. So if it's stupid funny, let it be stupid funny. Anymore. How many movies can you count on one hand that are like that actually make you laugh?
Right.
I'll wait.
And there's so many other layers to it, too, which is why we have a podcast called Representation in Cinema. But, like, on that note, so, I mean, I'll never, like, miss an opportunity to shade Tyler Perry, because when I say I'm your biggest hater. But the thing is like, okay, so it's one thing to have representation, right? But because I always go in, you know, to movies just like, you know, just I'm going to take it as it is and then go from there. I'm always like semi worried about, okay, like, even though this is a, you know, all black cast for the most part, like, how are we seen? How are we being perceived? How is, or at least how am I perceiving, right? Like, the black people in this movie, like, you know, are they caricatures, like, all these things. And so I kind of go in with that sort of like, okay, who is in this? How are we being portrayed? And when I looked at this, or when I was watching this film, and it was in It was in theaters, and I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to remember if it was like Most of Us, like, you know how, like, mm-hmm. When I went in to like go see, like, for instance, The Blackening, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. It was all of us in there, and it was, or The Woman King, like, it was all of us, and so that was, you know, an amazing experience. I think it was like a mixed. It was definitely more of us in the when I went to go see the film, mm-hmm. But like I just remember sitting back and going. Oh no, these women are, you know, they're creatives, they're artists, they're innovative. Mm-hmm. Like, and of course we know as Black women, right? Like when we need stuff done, we get it done, right? Mm-hmm. That's a given with us. But like just to keep seeing, you know, okay, you know, this doesn't work out, let me try this, and then on top of it seeing community come together, like mm-hmm. that type of representation, like you were saying, Dominique, mm-hmm. we don't see a lot of it, or mm-hmm. if it isn't a film,
yeah,
it's not widely marketed. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's put on a streaming service that, you know,
Tubi.
Yeah, Tubi. Well, it's on Tubi, but then you don't get. It doesn't get marketed, right? Mm-hmm. Or it gets on Netflix, right? It mm-hmm. gets on Netflix, like this big streaming service. But they hide it.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's not even like it is. It's both things. It's weird not getting enough of this type of representation.
Yes.
And also. Any representation that we are getting that is authentic to us mm-hmm. is not being pushed.
Right.
Right. I mean, yeah. Spike Lee, right, is coming out with another mm-hmm. film with Denzel Washington.
What?
Yeah. Oh. And yeah. See, that's my exact point. Highest to lowest is coming out. Little Theater, Sunday, August 17th. Anyway.
Okay.
At 3 p.m. and 3 p.m. Anywho. I'll be yeah. there. Black Cinema Series. Be there. Yes. Anyway.
What time? What time?
3 p.m. 3 p.m. on Sunday the 17th. Oh, okay. Right. But like, but that's what I'm saying. It's like the marketing. Mm-hmm. Where is the marketing for this film? It's Spike Lee and Denzel Washington. Like,
yeah. Yeah. We've not seen that anywhere.
Yeah.
Me either.
I'm going to bring it back to something that Jackie already sort of touched on just to keep us sort of in that realm because, you know, part of the conversation for me is actually, who you watched it with, right? Mm-hmm. And so we talk about being in a theater with us, right? So I can remember going to see Black Panther, right? And getting dressed up for the first Black Panther and being in there with a group, right, of us. And so that watching experience does a few things for me when I think about it. So four particular things. One, it allows you to connect with relatable moments and collective response, right? When certain things are funny, we know it's funny because we all sort of have a similar, right, experience to that. The second thing for me is always the energy of that then. And right. So I'm able to like tap my friend next week, like, girl, you remember that time? Like, you know, so we're sort of rehashing in the theater together about maybe adventures we've had or adventures that people have had with, you know, other friends of theirs. And so I went with a group of friends. Right. Mm-hmm. And so we all met each other. And that for me, a lot of times is the best ways to view these kind of these particular films, because we're all cracking up at some of the same moments. And for me, that makes culture that much deeper. Like, to me, it's like, okay, I know that we've all been through some of these things, or we know somebody, right, that represents that. Mm-hmm. Another thing it does, I think, is, again, gives us the time for joy and reflection in unsettled times. Collecting mm-hmm. in a theater in mm-hmm. the dark for an hour and a half to be unbothered, right, in whatever joy and moment that we have before we leave the theater, mm-hmm. right? So what that feels like. And then just the essential gathering as practice. We gather for films like, you know, other groups of people, but we do it in our particular ways as well, right? We're going to gather and come together to have a laugh, to have a kiki. And so, yeah, I sort of want to just get you all's thoughts and feelings about what it is to watch films as a collective. So it's sort of this broader conversation. And you mentioned who you watched it with, right? And so maybe even thinking about this experience, what was it like watching it with your mom and your sister, and then anyone else that wants to chime in?
It gave a moment to reconnect and bond, you know, because sometimes it's always go, go, go. And just mm-hmm. getting a chance to sit down and relax and watch a comedic show that is of us. Like, you know, we just don't get those opportunities often. You put all the different variables of life. Sometimes, unfortunately, Netflix is not turned on at all. You know, it's just go all the time. So it was good. And then, you know, my sister actually invited her to be on this podcast because she would have more to say than me. But she doesn't like to be on camera and stuff like that. But, oh my gosh, she's a movie buff, film buff, book. And she was talking yappity yap the whole movie. I'm like, girl, come watch the show.
We need her. We'll have to talk to her.
Sis, come through, sis. Yeah, yes. She's got a lot to say. I would love you guys to meet each other sometime. Yes. But, yeah.
Thank you. Now, anyone else? Yeah. Collective viewing, what's that like for you?
Well, I didn't, yeah, like I said, I saw it on the plane. Right. But, you know, just, I think the last thing I saw collectively or in a group was Get Out.
Yes.
We all know that.
That was a good one.
I mean, everyone was laughing at the same time. Woo. Or just like, you know, and then that ending when everybody was clapping, yes, in the theater. Like, yes. It's just that camaraderie that I don't know. What is that?
I don't know.
I'm going to go with camaraderie.
But we almost tore that theater up. Yeah. Yeah. Are you talking about clapping at the end? Oh, wow. And the moments of ahas that, mm-hmm, were coming forth and Get, yeah, Out. That was a very, like, yeah, some of us were like, y'all, this is lit.
Yeah, yeah. That's the last one I remember for me.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's kind of been a,
that's
long
a good
time.
One. Oh, no. Either of you, Coco, Jackie?
For me, like I said, I watched the movie on my own because I needed some self-care day. And yes, I was like, I'm just going to sit and, ooh, watch this movie.
That. It's good for that, too.
Yeah. It was perfect. And I got to, you know, sit and laugh. And of course, for me, I usually talk to my mom and my sisters. So I guess we're on the same length of bringing our sisters to the podcast because I was, yeah, talking to them about it. But especially my mom, she's always like, she used to always find movies for us to watch. And that was our way of, like, bonding. And yeah, especially just my sisters and my mom, just us. And we were talking about Attack the Block. That's, yes, what she got us onto, yes, with that movie. And just even the suspense of that movie and the storytelling. And, you know, and then Get Out. Yes. Yes. I've seen it 3 times. Same reaction still. Yes. And then, of course, going to see the movie Sinners. I saw that, yes, twice. And seeing it in 2 different spots, like I saw it in Tinseltown the second time. And there wasn't a lot of people, but there was a little bit of us sprinkled around. So the reactions were a, yes, little different. I went to Webster to see it the first time. So that was a big mixture of people. And you could kind of tell, like, the energy a little bit with some of the scenes and stuff. But it was very funny to hear, like, people making comments, like, all over, you know, ha, oh, yeah, my God, like, they, yeah, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah,
right.
So.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So, like, yeah, and it, watching One of Them Days in Theaters, I had a friend with me who is not Black, but a person of color. And like I said, there was a mix, like, of us in the audience, but we were definitely there. And then just so, like, of course, like, yes, you're laughing at, like, similar parts. At some moments, you know, you're hearing, and, like, you know, it's, yeah, there's a different energy when that happens, right? It makes, it not only makes, like, the experience just more enjoyable, but you know that you have, like, others who resonate with you, like, in a different way than maybe other people would. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, okay, you got family in the room, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's always nice.
Thank y'all for that. And I think just one last thing to tip it off for me, when I think about watching scenes like the cookout, mm-hmm, and we're laughing and we're watching the uncles queue on the grill, we got uncles, we watching kids run around, we're watching these things happen in our neighborhood. I think it also is just a reminder of what we're trying to protect, mm-hmm, as well as we watching it, right? We have joy about looking at what we actually are trying to preserve, mm-hmm, in real time, right? Mm-hmm. As things are being dismantled and divided. Yes. And so collective viewing does that for me as well. It, mm-hmm, like, it's a joyous reminder, right, of what we have and why it needs to be protected. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so on that note, like, always on the podcast, we like to, well, just like in general, we like to lift as we climb. And so we close out our podcast with promoting each and every one of you. So we're going to go around the table here and talk about anything that you are promoting, any upcoming events, any projects, businesses you want to shout out, you know, especially your own. We need to know where we can support, and then, of course, where we can find you. And I will start with Jay.
Oh, shoot.
You said going around. I thought you were going to go to the around. Okay, what up, y'all? It's Afro Goddess Jay. That is my name on Instagram. I currently am trying to raise money for an Afro Soul Wellness and Art Gallery. So that's kind of where I'm at. I found some spaces. I just need the money to get in those spaces. I have a fundraiser. It's available in the link on my bio. in a link in my bio on Afro Goddess J on Instagram. That's Afro Goddess J A E, all one word.
All right.
And yeah, look out for Black Woman is Art Part 3.
Let's go.
In 2026.
And like I said, we'll have this in the show notes. Yes. All right. Katrina, is there anything you want to promote?
Yeah, a couple of things. Most Thursdays you can find me 7 to 10 spinning and hosting karaoke at Sidebar, which is on South Avenue. Most Thursdays we give grown professional vibes. On my night, we like to have a good time. Just like we're family. And so speaking of good times, on August 21st at Truth Social, that's a Thursday, from 4 to 9 p.m. I am hosting Out of the Office Happy Hour with Radical Rashad. Tickets are $30, $25 to $30. And we are fundraising for Operation Go, which is a youth sneaker creation program.
Oh, nice.
And so we will be partying with a purpose and connecting ROC working professionals and entrepreneurs.
Nice. All right. Thank you so much. All right, Dominique.
I'm going to try to make this quick.
We've got time. We've got time. It's all good.
She's got a whole list.
I know. I'm trying. Okay. So when is this airing again? It's live. So it's live right now. August. Yeah. You guys know, I do Soca Trails, which is along the nature. We do music. We go through vibes. There are 4 dates available. The 19th. Which is a Tuesday. It's in partnership with Rock Ecology Partners. Then on Sunday the 31st will be Synergy Soca, where we do art and walking across nature with the Caribbean music. And then on Tuesdays, you can always catch me either 9 a.m. or 7 p.m. blazing the music and going through a different trail throughout town. So there's that. As far as doing family portraits, headshots, all those things, I do have the M3 photo sessions going on starting now. So just reach out. Looking for different representation for exhibition coming up next year within the Caribbean, Afro-Caribbean spaces of different businesses to represent. So if you're interested in getting to know more, again, hit me up. And last but not least, I got to shout out businesses besides myself, Karabega Designs. Follow me, Karabega Designs, on Instagram or Karabega Chronicles for more of the cultural experiences. Then I got to big up Island Wraps as a Caribbean American restaurant and now food truck available to book for catering on and off site.
All right.
They have tons of events coming up. I'm going to just put that there. You might see this flyer around town. But there's couples night, brunch night, Gen Z night, family night, and ladies nights, all from now through October. But reservation is required if you are coming to the restaurant at this time. Not because we're so busy, because we're short staffed. So in that note, if you like to do real work, we are hiring. All right. Thank you. And little Xavier. My baby, love you, Xavier. If you get to see this at all, big up to you. Always keeping mommy going. Thanks.
All right, Coco.
Well, I'm Coco Ray. You could find me on any platforms at By Coco Ray, BYCOCOARAE. I have a studio space called The Perp on the west side of town. If you're looking for an event space or even a studio to shoot in, definitely contact me. And of course, like everybody else here, we're amazing artists. Please support them. I am an amazing artist as well. If you're looking for anything, just contact me. That's it.
Okay. Anything about, you know, certain fundraisers for studios or anything, you know?
I am still doing my fundraiser. I started in April. I decided to move the end date to December of this year. So I'm, like I said, what's our quote, Erica and Jackie? Yes, we're leaving here with what?
Something.
All right.
If we need to do a rent party.
Available
to DJ.
It's lit.
We just made our money.
Yes. We need a rent party. I got you.
I love it. I know this is not a part of the the topic, but I want to know what you like to DJ, and I will be coming to one of those karaoke.
I like to play a lot of things. My sets are open format. I play a lot of different music, and I can take requests, what you want to hear. Dope. I'm still an amateur. That's one thing I usually tell people. I'm still an amateur. I'm still learning, but I'm learning from some of the best around me. Some of the DJs have really tapped in to try to guide me. Yeah, so
DJing is a part of my heart, too.
Yeah, so I love that. We got to connect.
No,
And I'm open to DJ restaurants too.
And I just big shout out to the Black House Boutique on Monroe Ave, 190 Monroe Ave. You guys come check it out. A lot of different Black artists, local artists have their work there, including myself. And they also have karaoke. Okay. And if you're looking for a more DJ, come on over there on Saturdays from 8 to 10, and it's just free to come through. I finally will get to be there this Saturday. It's been a while. I haven't been since like April. So,
Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
It's a long time.
And I mean, I will continue supporting each and every one of you, but then also, I would promote, but I'm also just going to, I'm about to do that right now, because this is the podcast of Our Voices Project. Okay, so first and foremost, I would like to thank all of our guests for sharing, your opinions, your thoughts, your insight, your knowledge, on the film, and for being here on the podcast today. I would also like to give a big shout out to Katrina for co-hosting this episode with me. It has been amazing. We're definitely going to have you back, of course. And then, let's see. And for our listeners, with each of our guests, as well as our co-hosts, I will also be putting everything that they're promoting in the show notes, so you can access all of that. I'm not expecting you to remember all that. We'll definitely have it somewhere for you so you can go and support. And to our viewers and listeners, of course, thank you so much for your support of Our Voices Project and the Representation in Cinema podcast. You can find us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Blue Sky. I'm trying to be on there more. it's a work in progress. Also on Threads. And you can also find us at ourvoicesproject.com for more information about what we do and the films we produce. You can sign up for our newsletter there, too, to be the first to get notifications about podcast episodes and new projects. You can listen to this episode and others under Representation in Cinema on any of the platforms listed on our website, so Spotify or anywhere you get your you listen to your favorite podcasts, because, of course, we're your favorite podcast. Or go to our website at ourvoicesproject.com/podcast. So this has been Jackie McGriff and Dr. Katrina Overby, your hosts for this episode of Representation in Cinema of Our Voices Project. As always, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Lunchador Podcast Network. Another one.
Lizard.
Another one.
Lizard.
Another
one. Awesome. Hey, another one. Was that the shortest podcast we've done?
Another one.